You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Final day of February. We're talking at Brewers baseball today with our Brewers reporter, Adam McKelvey. Adam on the scene right now as the Brewers are currently taking on the Kansas City Royals. And Adam, as we speak here, it is a 2-2 game, middle innings right now. Zach Davies got the start, what I suspect is his first start of the spring. So kind of just run down what you see out there and how Davies looked today.
Well, it's hard to say because it was one inning. Right? because the games began earlier this year with the World Baseball Classic, a lot of these guys in their first start, the non-World Baseball Classic guys, are pitching one inning. So I'm not certain that we want to make very many evaluations off of that. He got some pitches in. He threw all of his pitches. Zach Davies is a guy who likes to throw everything from the very start. And, you know, God is working kind of thing. And I think that's how these pitchers are looking at it. It's a long spring this year, a long way to get ready. And the Brewers have some interesting decisions to make. They've got too many starters for five spots, and they need to make a call. I'm not certain that it's really a competition. I bet if you ask, you know, if you really pin down David Stearns and Craig Counsell, they know probably what they're going to do. It's just a matter of can they get everybody healthy to the end of spring training the way they want and then line things up the way they want. I just have a feeling that they sort of have an idea already.
That would seem to be the case, and I think, you know, most front offices and managers do, unless a guy completely comes out of nowhere to surprise or maybe on the other end of the spectrum disappoint, but that kind of rarely happens. But nonetheless, that kind of brings me to another broader point about spring training, and it's kind of an age-old question this time of year where, you know, the team is on the field for its first, you know, at this point, four or five games of the spring training schedule. And, you know, it's something we kind of wrestle with. It's like, you know, how much stock do you put into numbers at this juncture of spring training? In other words, if, you know, if a guy goes 0 for 5 or 5 for 5, do you care? Do you get excited? Do you get disappointed? Or is it just at a point right now where, like you said, where Zach Davies is concerned, you just want to see the guy get in his pitches, get in his reps, and not get hurt? So I think it's one of those questions that if he asked 10 people, you might get 10 different answers. But where do you kind of draw the line in the sand about, you know, okay, at what point do you want to see numbers and production that you hope will carry, you know, into the regular season? What's your take on that whole thing?
Well, if there's 10 different answers, I'll give you the right answer.
Oh, awesome.
It's that I wish they would not even keep statistics in spring training because there's nothing more worthless than a spring training batting average or ERA. It's completely irrelevant, and it gets you in so much trouble when you start looking at things like that. And it's for a bunch of different reasons. Number one is everybody has a different outlook or a different strategy to these outings. So I've seen Ben Sheets used to come into spring training and throw nothing but fastballs for his first bunch of outings. So if his ERA after three spring training starts was 15.5, does that mean that Ben Sheets is not going to have a good year? It obviously didn't. It was just that was something he was working on. The other thing that gets you into huge trouble is that the hitters are all in different places. The Brewers have a guy in camp, two guys, Yadiel Rivera and Ivan DeJesus Jr., who won the Caribbean Series for their team from Puerto Rico. They were playing baseball a week before pitchers and catchers reported to spring training. Charged, real, meaningful baseball game. So obviously their at-bats are going to be a lot different than, you know, a guy who, Ryan Braun, who rolls out of bed and comes in and sees a pitch for the first time. He won't until the second week of March. Guys are just in totally different places. Then on top of that, you got the weird conditions here in Arizona, the dry air, the concrete infields, the fact that, you know, Zach Davies, the starting pitcher today, went one inning. And then it's a mix of guys fighting for roster spots and minor leaguers who are just filling innings. I just think that the statistics are totally irrelevant. I wish they didn't keep them. I wish they didn't charge admission to the games. I wish they didn't put them on television. I wish we could just, you know, watch these games, see the quality of the at-bats, see the contact, see the, you know, how a pitcher is repeating his delivery, the things that you sort of can look at in spring training games and not worry about the numbers and the results.
Now, I want to follow that up by asking, for the reasons you just mentioned, with admission to the games and with games being televised, and because baseball is so grounded and so rooted in numbers and in statistics more than any other sport. Are those the reasons why there seems to be this insistence that we have to have numbers, we have to have statistics, even in spring training, because without it, people wouldn't quite know what to do with themselves? Is that part of the reason here?
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, for when things go the way you want them to go, you can use those numbers to your benefit. And look, I'm not going to say I've never written a spring training story that doesn't reflect a guy's results. I wrote yesterday, Lewis Brinson, their outfield prospect, had a big game against the Rangers. Obviously, he had three hits. I wrote about that. But I don't think that's what Craig Counsell and David Stearns are looking at as they're making evaluations. They're looking much deeper than that at the performance of these players beyond the numbers. So we're going to keep the numbers. I'm not so sure that that's something that they necessarily care about inside. For the vast majority of teams, I really believe this. They know 23 or so of the 25 opening day roster spots, they know what those spots are going to be. And for many clubs, it's 25. And it's just a matter of, you know, what is going to happen to you health-wise throughout the spring to change those decisions. And look, that happens to everybody. And then it does become about evaluation and performance and who can help you right now. And sometimes you are going to take a guy who's really swinging a hot bat in spring. You think he can help you early in the season. But I just think in the vast majority of cases, teams are not making big evaluations off of spring training performances.
Yeah, nor should they. And I think everybody is aware of that. And just before we started chatting, I was joking with our superstar producer, Mike, that I said it's ridiculous. On our website, on MLB.com, they've already got batting average leaders in the Grapefruit League. And you see ridiculous numbers like 814 and 779, and it makes you laugh. I just, you know, I find it comical. I think you do too. I think a lot of people do. And I think everybody has learned that you got to take this stuff with a big, big grain of salt, because ultimately it does not matter. And it's just something, it's a crutch. It's something we rely upon because, like I said, baseball is so grounded in its numbers, in its statistics. And it's just something that we kind of need. It's our little security blanket, I guess. And that's the end of that. So moving on from that, Adam, you wrote the other day that, you know, there is a benefit. You've mentioned the World Baseball Classic and a handful of guys that are going to be representing their countries in the coming weeks. Now, a fringe benefit to that for some of the younger guys, you know, who are quote-unquote staying behind with their team, is that they're going to get playing opportunities that they wouldn't normally get, because a lot of guys, at least for a couple of weeks, are going to be out of the picture. So of that group of guys, of these prospects that are going to get some increased looks, who would be topping that list for the Brewers right now?
Well, there's a couple of guys. One is Mauricio Dubon, and part of the reason he's going to get a look is he's new to the organization. He's one of the guys they got from the Red Sox in the Tyler Thornburg trade, a shortstop. He's trying to become the first player born and raised in Honduras to make it to the major leagues, a source of great pride for him. A really interesting player, a hit for average kind of guy, a smaller guy. Looks like he can really field the position. Looks like he can be versatile on the infield. Certainly can play shortstop from the little bit we've seen him. And a guy who's going to play a lot because, as you said, the Brewers have some guys leaving. Hernan Perez and Jonathan Villar are going to go for Venezuela and the Dominican Republic. And I think it would be a shock if at least one of those teams didn't play deep into that tournament. So they're going to be gone a while. Then some of the other players that the Brewers have in camp, they have two first basemen who are just, you know, basically exclusively first basemen, so they're not going to play elsewhere on the infield. And then there's only one non-roster invitee who's an infielder, Eric Sogard, the former A's second baseman. So there's just not a ton of guys on the roster and non-roster invitees who are on the infield, and then with the two guys leaving, it means opportunities for someone like Dubon. I think the other guy I'm really interested in seeing, and we've already seen him in one game, is Lucas Ursig, a player that the Brewers drafted out of Menlo College in California. He went to Cal before that, ran into some trouble, left Cal, went to Menlo, and was drafted for his bat. It looks like he can really hit. He kind of is sort of rededicated to baseball. He's kind of getting a second life in the game. And he spoke when we had a chance to talk with him. He seems really committed to this, very serious about this opportunity and trying to make the most of it. And I think he's going to get to play, and he plays a position at third base that the Brewers happen to not have a lot of prospects at. They brought in Travis Shaw in that deal with the Red Sox, and they really hope he's going to grab onto that position. He's a younger player, but, you know, no sure thing. He's still got to gain a foothold in the major leagues. And I think Urszag, if he can impress a little bit, there's opportunity there for him in an organization that is not tremendously deep among third basemen. So he's a guy I'm really curious to get a look at over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, a lot of young guys going to get a lot more scrutinized looks because of the upcoming World Baseball Classic. And a very interesting note about Dubon, one that I was not aware of, and I can't imagine how much pride he would be feeling if he does become the first Honduras-born person to ever, you know, crack a big league roster. That would be tremendous for him and for the Brewers, and
well,
we wish him.
You know, to expound on
sure.
that, Gerald Young, the former outfielder, the former Astro outfielder, he was born in Honduras, but we were talking with Dubon about that, and he made a big deal about the fact that, well, you know, my people really don't consider Gerald Young a Honduran because he was just born there, I think, while his parents were on vacation, and then moved back and
nice
grew up
vacation.
In the U.S. Dubon came over when he was 15 years old. A group of Christian ball players had gone down to Honduras, and Dubon traveled back with them and then went to high school in California. But, you know, again, until 15, he was growing up in Honduras. And he's trying to, you know, help some other players from that country get a little foothold. He says there's some good athletes there, some kids who really like baseball. And even though he's a young player himself, he'll be 22 this year at AA or AAA. He's done some things with young players there to try to get them interested in baseball and try to get the next wave of players. But, yeah, so he would, just to be clear, Gerald Young is the first, but as Dubon would debate with us, he is not a true Honduran.
Yeah, I got to side with Mauricio here on this one, even
yeah.
though, you know, technically, yes, the birth certificate does say for Gerald Young, born in Honduras, but, you know, that's a gray area there. I think we can all agree that if Dubon does achieve his big league dream, he would be number one in the hearts and minds of most Hondurans, and a guy that you're certainly pulling for, a guy that was very highly touted in the Red Sox, a very deep farm system, but blocked by a guy named Bogaerts, so one that the Red Sox felt
yeah.
they could part with.
Pretty good player.
Pretty good player, yeah, I agree. But Dubon, we think, should be too, and hopefully he gets the opening that he needs to, you know, ascend to great heights with the Milwaukee Brewers. Adam, to begin to wrap up here, you mentioned the individual effort of Lewis Brinson the other day, the centerpiece of that trade for Jonathan Lucroy that happened last season that the Brewers got back from Texas. He had that big performance. And then Scooter Jeanette, he's trying his hand as an outfielder. It's been, you know, mixed results with some other guys, converted infielders in the past. How does he look? And just kind of give us your take on how he's adapting to his new, what should be a new position for him.
Yeah, well, what a couple of other players have said is that Scooter Jeanette came in looking more athletic this year. It seems like he made an effort over the winter to work on some agility, flexibility, those types of things, and he's moving around well enough that other guys are taking note of that, and they think that's going to help him. I'll just tell you that the other big part of this, from his point of view, is he's, you know, going into this with a smile. You know, he's no old grizzled veteran for sure, but, I mean, he spent 3.5 years as their second baseman here and kind of that being his position, and it got taken away from him because Jonathan Villar was really good last year. He needs to be in the lineup somewhere, and second base was the best spot for the rest of the configuration of this roster. And that meant Scooter Jeanette has to move into more of a utility role. And instead of kind of sulking about it, you know, I remember Ricky Weeks when this was asked of him a bunch of years ago, where he said, "I'm a second baseman." And he was just unwilling to give it a shot. Scooter Jeanette's out there starting, I think it was the Brewers' second Cactus League game he was starting in left field, a position he'd really never played before. So he's you know, open-minded about this. He's enthusiastic about it. He's on out there every day at 8 a.m. for different work at different positions, defensive work at different positions, and he's trying to do everything he can do to basically make the team as a lefty bat off the bench. And then who knows? I mean, the Brewers' shortstop, Orlando Arcia, is going into his first full season. They've got to figure out if he can handle the bat well enough to be in the major leagues at this young age. If he looks like he needs more time, I mean, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that they send him back down and they move VR back to shortstop, and all of a sudden you got Scooter Jeanette at second base again. So I think he's wise to be open-minded about this, do everything you can just to, you know, make the team, get ready for the season, and then kind of see what happens. But just his willingness to do it is what stands out to me.
Yeah, that's a huge factor because, you know, like you said, if he had a Ricky Weeks type attitude, that could ruffle some feathers. And hopefully that is not the case with a Scooter. And, you know, one of the buzz terms we often hear these days is positional versatility, which is so important as teams are looking for, you know, their own Ben Zobrist, you know, a guy that can get out there and do everything but pitch and catch. And if Scooter can increase his value from a defensive standpoint by getting out there and being serviceable in left field, then all the better for the Brewers. And he obviously can play the infield. He's proven that. So hopefully this is an experiment that goes in his favor and the team's as well. Good place to wrap this one up on a Tuesday. Adam McKelvey, our thanks to you. We'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.